Thank you, Bert. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning. It's good to see you today. God bless you. You're all looking so warm. Well, I'm glad that you're looking fairly warm today. Nobody's chipping ice off of your noses. Our heating system this morning just is not really cutting it too good. I don't know what the deal is. We got two big furnaces, and right now I think it's got it up to about 65 degrees in here. So I'll tell you what, everybody take deep breaths and okay, snuggle up. Anyway, it could be worse, right? Could be worse, that's for sure. Well, anyway, I'm glad you made it here today. God bless you, and I hope you're doing well getting through the cold weather. It's supposed to warm up in a couple of days, and we'll see if that happens or not. I have not a lot of faith in weather predictions, but at any rate, I hope it does warm up some, and I hope you're all doing well and getting ready for Christmas. All right. This morning, I want to just draw our attention to a very familiar scripture that I will announce in just a moment, but I want to speak this morning on the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift of all, and I'm sure that many of you can jump ahead and see where I'm going with that. But speaking of gifts, how many of you can think of a really great gift that you have received somewhere along the line, something really, really special? Can you think of that? My mind goes back to it was great to be a kid during my era. I mean, we had some really neat toys when I was growing up. How many of you who are my vintage, you remember Lincoln Logs? Remember Lincoln Logs? And we loved Lincoln Logs. And I remember getting Lincoln Logs and got our electric train. That was a lot of fun. Our bikes, BB guns. Yeah, amen. Did you get your Red Ryder BB gun? Okay, that was a long time before the Christmas show ever came out about the Red Ryder BB gun. But those were fun, weren't they? Getting all those neat things. Then you get older, and I'm at the place right now where I get excited about socks. Amen. I mean, a good pair of socks. I mean, there's a lot to be said for a good pair of socks, right? I'll say. I put on a new pair of socks. I found some new socks. Karen had bought some socks, and they were down in the basement, and I digging around, and I found them. They hadn't even had the price tag off of them, so I brought them up, and I confiscated them, and I guess she was going to give them away as gifts, but I took them, and I brought them up, and this morning I put on a pair. I've got them on right now. But it was, I put them on, and I looked down, and there's a hole in the heel. But fortunately, it's down far enough on my heel so you can't see it. So, but I've got a brand new pair of socks on this morning with a hole in them. Gifts aren't what they used to be. So anyway, well, aren't you? I'm thankful for Christmas. I went through a period of time some years ago, maybe 20 years ago or so, when I became kind of a humbug about Christmas, you know, and I even had a sermon I called my humbug sermon, and I haven't preached that in a long time though, so but I still have it, so you may get it. But but you know, the truth of the matter is, I love Christmas. Christmas is a good time. It's a happy time. It's a family time. It's just a good time. I know that there are people who have sorrows and so forth associated with Christmas, and of course we're sorry about that, and we hope that God gives grace and joy. But as a whole, Christmas has a lot to be thankful for at Christmas time. And I want us to go to John chapter 3 and verse 16 this morning. And I just want to look at this verse, and I want to talk about salvation, the greatest gift of all. Salvation, the greatest gift of all. And I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that one of my favorite Christmases was my first Christmas as a Christian back in 1962, 54 years ago. I had just received Christ in August of 1962, just as a 17-year-old just graduating from high school here in Richland. And I had a friend who witnessed to me faithfully and a pastor who was able to lead me to the Lord in August of 1962. And I became a member of the First Baptist Church in Richland. It was a great congregation and a great pastor and great people in the church. And my whole life changed drastically and dramatically very quickly. And that Christmas of 1962 was an extremely meaningful and precious Christmas to me. And one of the reasons, and the main reason was because I knew Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I understood to some extent what Christmas was really all about. It was a whole different thing. It was just a whole different thing. Since that time, of course, I have grown in the Lord. I have come to realize more and more and more and more that's about salvation and what a precious, meaningful thing it is to be saved, to be saved. Truly, salvation is the greatest gift of all. Amen. It is the greatest gift of all. And if you are here this morning and you have already received the salvation that God has in Christ, I just want to remind us this morning of how great it really is. And if you're here this morning and you have never come to a place in your life yet where you have really understood or received the gift of salvation that God has for us through Jesus Christ, then I pray that what we have to say this morning might be of a help to you, might be of an inspiration to you, might be of instruction to you, that you too might understand the greatness of salvation through Christ, what it means, and you will want to receive that gift also, because truly it is the greatest of all gifts, and it's really beyond words, and the Bible tells us that. So I want to talk about that this morning. Let's read John 3:16. Most of you can probably quote it, but John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. What a tremendous verse that is. So, why is salvation the greatest gift of all? First of all, I want to point out that it is the greatest gift of all because God is the giver. God is the giver. You know, when you receive a gift from somebody that's very special or important to you, the gift means more. Now stop and think about what we've just read. God gave. God gave. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave. This gift comes from God. God is the giver, the creator of the universe, the almighty God who gives us life. The Bible says in him we live and we move and we have our being. The almighty God who has provided all things, the almighty God who we can't even imagine in all of his glory and all of his majesty and all of his power. It is this God who has chosen to give us this gift. I brought along a book this morning. I don't know, some of you know me well enough to know that I like books. How many of you like books? I like books. Down through the years, I have been given many books. I brought a book that's special to me this morning. It's called The Millennial Bible. How many have this book in your library? That's exactly what I expected. Not a single one of you. All right, but this book is very meaningful to me. I've had this book for a long time, and I'll tell you why it's very meaningful to me. First of all, because of what the book is. I don't even know if this book is in print anymore. I've had this book for many, many years. I've had this book for 50 years, I don't even know if it's in print anymore. That's one of the good things about being an old preacher. is that, and being an old preacher and having good instruction when I was just a young preacher, is that I learned a lot about books. And frankly, I know a lot more about books than most younger preachers do. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you the truth. I do. And I know a lot about authors and books that aren't even available anymore. You can't even get them. And they are tremendous books, tremendous, tremendous books. This is a book on prophecy. It covers every prophecy in the Bible. And it's a compilation of different authors. But anyway, I'm getting off of my topic this morning. But anyway, this book is very meaningful to me. It's the Millennial Bible. Now, it's not only meaningful to me because of the content of the book, but it is meaningful to me because of how I received this book and when I received this book. The giver of this book to me is in this room today. Anybody guess who it might be? Huh? Bob Latin? No, it could have been Bob, but it wasn't. Anybody know? Karen, that's right. My wife gave it to me. She's given me many books over the years. But this one is especially important to me and especially meaningful to me. And I would never give this book away or sell this book. I have given away, I believe, literally hundreds of books over the years. And I have sold some books also. There are many of you who have some of my books in your library now if you haven't gotten rid of them already. But at any rate, this is meaningful to me because my wife gave it to me. And I'm not going to read you what she wrote in here. I know you'd like me to, wouldn't you? She starts off, "To my Michael." And she ends up by saying, "Love your wife of 1 year." And she signs it, "Scoofy." Now, Scoofy was my nickname for her when we first got married. I called her Scoofy. And that's because it was kind of a halfway between goofy and, I guess, crazy or something. I wasn't quite sure what it was, but Scoofy. Scoofy was about the closest thing I could come up with. So I called her Scoofy. But, you know, I bring this, you know, I knew this would be a little bit entertaining to you this morning, but I brought it as an illustration. That this book as a gift has very special meaning to me. This gift has a very special meaning to me because the one who gave it to me is someone very special, very important to me. Now you see, if you're here this morning and you have received this gift of life, it's very special to you because of the one who has given it to you. The one who sent it to you, the one who provided it for you, the great God of heaven. Can you stop and just think about this for just a moment? That God has given us such a gift. This gift comes from Almighty God. Now, that brings us to our next point, and that is this, the motive for the gift. Why did God do such a thing for us? Look at what it says once again. For God so what? So God so loved, God so loved. You know, the motive for God's great gift to us is because he loved us so much. He's given it to you and to me out of love. That tells us what he thinks of us. What do you think of somebody that you love? What do you think of somebody that you love with such a deep love that you're willing to give the very best that you have? You love so deeply, are so concerned about them, have such a compassion for them, have such an affection for them, that you would give them the most valuable, the most precious thing that you have. God's love to us is so great, so deep, that he would give to us his Son. This is the time of Christmas cards. How many of you are getting Christmas cards? Some of you are getting Christmas cards? Somebody send you cards? How many have got one from your insurance company? Or maybe from your credit union? Now, how many have felt that those cards came from you out of a deep love? A deep love for money. Well, it might be smart business. You know, they certainly want to make you feel like you're a good customer and a needed customer. But let's face it, when you get a Christmas card from an insurance company or from a credit union or something like that, you don't feel the love. You know, usually they're not even signed. It's just a card, you know. But you know, God gave us His Son. God gave us His Son Jesus to die for us, folks, because He loves us so much. That tells us how important we are to Him. How many of you would give the most important thing that you have to somebody that you don't even know? That you don't have any real feelings for, relationship with? That you didn't feel any affection for? God gave us His Son because He loved us. We were so important, so valuable to Him. He had such compassion and care and affection for us that He was willing to give to us out of His love the greatest gift of all. My, what a wonderful thing that is. And so we have a God that loves us. We have a God that loves us. And then the next thing I want to point out this morning is the scope of the gift. The scope of the gift. How many of you have a gift list this year? You have a gift list? You kind of got a little gift list? Huh? There's always at least one on my gift list. Now, Karen, she has a gift list like this. She can open it up and goes, here's her gift list. You know, she's going to be getting something for a lot of people. And my gift list is, well, let's see, I've got Karen and she does the rest. She does the rest. Yeah. Yeah. But at any rate, stop and think about, if you want to think of it this way, stop and think about the gift list that God has. Notice what it says here. For God so loved the world. The world. This gift that is so great, that is so precious, that God gives because He loves us so much, this gift is not available to just a few. This gift is not available just to a short. This gift is available to the world. And when He speaks of the world, now listen, I understand there are over 7 billion people on the globe today. That's just today. Now, I have no idea how many people have lived all through history. I don't know. I have no idea how many people are yet to live. But this gift that God gives because He loves us so much, this great gift, it's available for all. Billions. Wow. Now that's some list, isn't it? That's some list. I'm so glad for that. The Scripture says that He's the propitiation for our sins, meaning those who have already received the gift. He's the propitiation or the satisfaction to God's justice for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Wow. That means the gift is available to everybody. I've received the gift on August 30th, 1962. When did some of you receive the gift? Shout it out. February 18th, what? 1932? Oh, okay. 1951, Bob received the gift. How many received the gift back in the 30s? Anybody received the gift back in the 30s? Did you, Margie? You were saved back in the 1930s? Okay, back in the 1930s. How many received the gift in the 40s? Can't remember? We don't have to remember the exact date, but maybe you come to the decade. The 40s? All right, some did. 50s? All right, a lot of hands going up. How about the 60s? All right, I'm in the 60s. How about the 70s? All right, more hands going up. The 80s. Oh, a lot of hands in the 80s. All right. 90s. All right. How about in this millennium? All right, more. All right. Hey, people receiving the gift. People receiving the gift. I didn't go back to the 20s. I don't think, Myra, you. When were you saved, Myra? When did you receive the gift? 1921. Woo! Myra, you look really well for being 130 years old. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But the gift is for the world. The gift is for the world of men, the world of sinners, the world of those who see their need for a Savior. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Now that's why the Bible, that's why Jesus told us we're to go forth and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Why? Because every creature has an opportunity to receive the gift. Everyone. And if you're here this morning and you've never received the gift, you have an opportunity right now, this morning, today, to receive the gift. To receive the gift. Now, why else is it such a wonderful thing and the greatest gift of all? Go back to the verse again, if you would, please. It says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He gave His only begotten Son. Let me ask you this question. What is, if you can think of it, what is the value of the most, what's the most valuable, costly gift that you've ever received? Maybe jewelry, maybe? How much would it be? Would it be hundreds of dollars? Would it be thousands of dollars? What would it be? I was reading a magazine this past week, and there was an article in it about an antique car. And this antique car is one of the rarest cars that there is. There were only 30 of them made. And they rarely become available. And this car, it's a beautiful, beautiful car. And I don't know, maybe Pete has one. Maybe you have one of these, Pete. 1936 Mercedes-Benz 500K Roadster. Do you have one of those somewhere out in your... It's just fabulous. I mean, you would just think a 1936, it's just an absolutely beautiful car, just a fantastic car. Only 30 were made. In the day, 1936, the car retailed for over $100,000. Now, that was in 1936. One recently sold at auction, according to the article, and it went for over $11 million. So, maybe somebody's interested. You could... Now, that's pretty expensive. That's pretty expensive. But listen, take your Bible with me and go to 1 Corinthians 2:8, would you? 1 Corinthians 2:8. 1 Corinthians 2:8. How can we get some idea of the cost of God's gift? Did I say 1 Corinthians? I meant 1 Corinthians. Yeah, that's what I meant. But I meant 2 Corinthians. I can get myself confused. All right, 1 Corinthians 2:8. 2:8. Paul is talking about the gospel that he preached to the Corinthians. And he comes down to verse 7. And he's talking about the mystery that was wrapped up in Christ in the gospel. And he says in verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." In other words, for us, unto our glory. Notice verse 8 now, which none of the princes or rulers of this world knew. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand all of the things involved with Christ and the gospel and all the rest of it, the things that God was doing for us. And for had they known it, now notice this carefully, they would not have crucified. Now, who did they crucify? Was it a mere man? Was it just a flesh and blood man upon that cross? Just a misunderstood teacher or a great prophet of some sort or a martyr? Who was it that they drove the nails into the hands and into the feet? Who was it that they drove the spear into his side? Who was it that they crushed down that crown of cruel thorns upon his brow until the blood gushed forth? Who was it that they beat until they couldn't recognize him? Who was it that they lifted up, nailed to that cross that day? The Bible says it was the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. Now let's let that sink in a little bit. It was not just any ordinary man. It was just not somebody who was unfortunate and he was just a misunderstood person. It was the one who came from heaven's gates, who came from heaven's glory, as the one who came by way of the virgin birth, who put on flesh, the incarnated Son of the living God, who lived a sinless life and fulfilled the letter of the law perfectly. The one who was the lamb without blemish, without spot, that went to the cross and there bore your sin and my sin. They crucified the Lord of glory. And they didn't even understand what they were doing. And yet you and I, dear people, we need to understand who that was. We need to understand what was happening there. We need to understand what God was doing for us, for our glory. That the time might come when we might stand with the Lord Jesus and share in His glory. Oh, the cost, the value of that gift that God gave to us. Amen? Amen. How we ought to appreciate that and be thankful for that. The cost of the gift. The just for the unjust, the Bible says. The just for the unjust. And so God has given us the most costly gift of all. He has given us His Son. And we don't understand perfectly the sonship of Christ, but it is an eternal sonship. It's an eternal fellowship of the Father and the Son, eternal love that you and I can't even begin to fathom and understand. And He gave us His Son because He loved us. And we're important to Him and we're valuable. And He wants us to be saved. Now, let me go on. And I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians for my next point here. The book of Ephesians, because I want to quickly mention a number of things. It's the greatest gift of all because of the benefit that this gift brings. Now, a lot of times we enjoy getting gifts and they don't really have a lot of benefit to them. They're just fun, they're enjoyable, they're entertaining or whatever it might be. But God gave us a gift that has benefits to it that you and I cannot even fully understand. And we will not fully understand all of these benefits until someday we stand in the presence of God. Then hopefully we will understand them. But just notice in the book of Ephesians, if you would please, I just want to mention some of the benefits that this gift brings. Why is it such a great gift? Because of what it does for us. Look at Ephesians 1:7, if you would please. In whom we have redemption through His blood. God's gift redeems us. The blood of Jesus Christ is the price that He has paid. We are redeemed, the Bible says, not by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by His precious blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ has redeemed us and bought us to God, paid the purchase price, paid the redemption price to free us from sin. And so we have, in the next part of the verse, we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sins. And dear, listen to me, dear person, I'm going to tell you something, and never forget this. None of us would ever have a chance at all, none of us would have any opportunity at all to stand before God unless we had the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to tell you something. You do not want to stand before a holy, righteous, just God someday with your sins not forgiven. You do not want that. Believe me. Trust me. You will not be able to stand in your own righteousness. You will not be able to stand in your own goodness. You will not be able to stand before a God who is so holy that the scriptures say that in him is no darkness at all. There's not a single blemish. He is the perfect, moral, holy God. And you do not want to have to stand before him guilty in your own sin. Oh, if we could just comprehend what we have in this gift of salvation in forgiveness. God has forgiven our sins. He says their sins and their iniquities will I remember no longer. They are lost in the sea of God's forgetfulness. I don't know how God does that. But some way, somehow, God blots out our sins to the point that he does not even bring them up. He does not even remember them anymore. How do I know that? Because he tells us that. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no longer. How many of you have done something in the past that you wish you could forget? Huh? Yeah. And you can't forget it. And you may be forgiven for it. But you can't forget it. And it comes up, and you have remorse over it. And you wish you had never had said that thing. You wish you had never done that thing. But once it's said or once it's done, you can never undo it. You can never undo it. And you young people remember that. But hallelujah, we have a God who blots out our sins, who washes away our sins, and more than that, he forgets our sins. And so when we stand before him, and you're going to be worried about that, oh, that thing I did back there, that thing I said, that thing back there, that terrible thing back there, what's God going to say about it? I'm going to tell you something. If you've received the gift, he's not going to say anything about it. Amen. Can we begin to think how precious, how wonderful that is? Whew. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to become a Baptist-costal here this morning. Thank you, Lord. The forgiveness of sins. Are you here this morning and you feel a little dirty, a little unclean? Your past is blemished? Well, I want to tell you something. If you haven't received this gift, oh, you can be clean in the eyes of God. You can be clean in the eyes of God. Did you hear that? You can be clean in the eyes of God. Even if you can't forget it, God will. God will. Hallelujah. Well, look at this, just in this one chapter. Look down, please. Let's go down to verse 5, if you would, please. Or go back to verse 5, rather. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, we are placed as children in the family of God, by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now notice this, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted, not rejected. Accepted, not refused. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God. We are the children of the living God. We have been accepted. Come on into the household. Come into the family. Wow. Folks, I tell you something, the benefits of this gift, it's a whole series of messages, and then we wouldn't still know all of the things that are there for us. This is a gift that never stops giving. Amen? And I like it because it's permanent. Don't have to take it back and trade it in. Don't have to get it repaired. Don't have to, don't have to get it darned. It's permanent. It's perfect. Lasts forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen, dear people, I got to bring my message to a close, but let me just draw your attention to what it says. If you want to know how great this gift is and what the benefit of this gift is, just listen to me for a second, would you? Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Did you hear that? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then you go down to verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, where that devil and all of his angels and all of his followers are tormented day and night forever and ever. How great is this gift? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Come to absolute, final, total ruination. Not annihilation. Ruination. Irrevocable, hopeless, eternal. Perish. This gift brings us life. Should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Hallelujah. The riches of heaven. Everlasting life. What's included in that? That's 5 or 6 more sermons. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Wow. Hallelujah. Heaven's glories. Heaven's glories. Not the lake of fire. Not to perish. Not to be tormented day and night forever and ever with the devil and his angels, but to live forever with Jesus, to live forever in heaven with in God's glory and God's light and God's love and God's goodness, all of God's designs for his people. To live forever with the Lord. How great is this gift? Amen? How great is this gift? I mean, some of us older folks who have received this gift a long time ago, we need to get stirred up about that a little bit, don't we? Amen. And if you're here this morning and you've never received that gift, you say, well, Pastor, what do I need to do to receive the gift? Well, what do you do when you receive a gift? Do this. Jesus, the scripture says this. The scripture says this. I can't quote it. John 1:12. But as many as received him. All right. But as many as received him. John 1:12. Look it up. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority or the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Even to them that believe on his name. But as many, what do you do when you get a gift? Oh, I don't have anything to give you, Brother Steve. I was going to do an example with you, but I don't have anything to give you. Here, I'm going to give you, I'll give you your, is this your Bible?
It's my Bible.
This is a gift I got for Steve, okay?
Amen.
What do I do? Okay. What do I do?
Hey, no.
Okay. What did he do? He received it. He took it to himself. Now, with Jesus, what you take him to yourself through faith. Receive him, you see, but as many as received him, even to them that believe on his name. Even to them that believe on his name. Do you believe that he's the Son of God? Do you believe that he came from heaven and that he came and died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead? Do you believe that the Son of God died on the cross for you and paid for your sins on the cross and rose again from the dead? Then you can by faith receive him. Lord Jesus, I believe. I receive you. I take you into my heart and my life. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I believe you rose again. I believe that if I receive you, you'll forgive me my sins. See, that's pretty simple. Well, listen, receiving a gift is simple. He's done all the work, right? You say, well, don't I have to do something? Well, do you reach into your pocket for a wallet when somebody gives you a gift and say, oh, well, thank you for that gift. How much was that? You receive it. You take it to yourself. That's the gift of God. The gift of God is everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, you see. It's the gift of God, Romans 6:23. Have you received that gift? Have you taken it to yourself? You can do it today. Say, what do I got to do, Pastor? You bow your heart, bow your head. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe you died for me. I believe you're the Son of God. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. I receive you. Forgive my sins. Make me your child. I take you into my heart, my life. I want to be your child. I want to be in your family. I want to follow you. Lord Jesus, I receive you. Hey, how many are glad that you've done that? Amen. Amen. Any dissatisfied? Anybody want to give it back? All right. Somebody says, well, you know, I've never met anybody who claims to be a real Christian who wants to give it back. Never have met anybody, you see. Never. I'm glad I got it. Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, if there's anybody here this morning who has not received that gift, I pray that they today, Lord, whether it's here in this room right now or at home, wherever it might be, Father, I pray today that they would simply reach out and receive the gift, that they take this wonderful gift that you have provided for the world. That is for them, if they'll receive it, if they'll take it, if they'll have it, it's for them. And I pray, God, that they would reach out and take it today. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your love, your goodness. Thank you for sending your Son. Lord Jesus, thank you for being submissive to the Father's will and coming and dying for us, suffering for us. We thank you, Father, for the great gift of your Son. So just bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together.